Hello, I'm Micah, aka Knob Twister, a host from the podcast you're about to fill your ear holes with. My co-host, Dustin, aka Sofa Sitter, and I research, read, and discuss fairy tales worldwide. The episodes are 60% fun, 10% educational, and 37% crazy. But alas, all good things do end, and Tales of Bedlam disappeared for a few years. So please disregard any reference to a website or announcements during the episode. For more fairy tale fun, follow, like, and share us on Instagram and Facebook at Tales of Bedlam, or visit our website from the link in the show notes. Enjoy the show!
But Death came to the physician looking very black and angry, threatening him with his finger, and said, "You have betrayed me. This time I will pardon it, as you are my godson. But if you venture it again, it will cost you your neck."
Ooh, what? That was creepy.
Welcome to Tales of Bedlam. You thought October was over. Today's tale is Godfather Death. But first, we have a little bit of shop to keep.
We have to keep a shop?
Oh, well, isn't that like a turn of phrase for, hey, here's some announcements, and
we have to let you know
we need to make some money?
Yeah, we do.
Thank you for all the reviews that we got.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gosh, I can't really say.
We got reviews.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, we said thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that sucks.
And
thank you for all the reviews that you gave us.
We love the reviews. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Where do you shop?
Amazon.
That's where I shop too.
I know. That's a quinky dink.
No, it's not. Everybody shops on Amazon.
Maybe not everyone. My grandma doesn't.
She should.
But she gets all her bikinis from JCPenney's.
Oh, what?
If you shop on Amazon, though, for bikinis or whatever...
What is your deal with bikinis, man?
Do your shopping on Amazon. And if you do, go to our website at talesofbedlam.com first, click on one of our Amazon ads, and then go ahead and continue to shop for whatever you want. Be it bikinis... Or maybe some warm clothes. Anything that you want to buy on Amazon, go to our website first, click one of the ads, and we'll get a little kickback from that so that we can buy new equipment.
Micah needs a bikini, apparently.
No, I would look terrible in one.
You guys give us enough kickbacks, I'm buying Micah a bikini, and I'll post it on the website. Him wearing it.
I guess I'd do that.
I promise.
If we got like thousands of dollars.
Okay. That's coming back. That is recorded and out on. It is not going away.
So let's jump into today's episode, Godfather Death. A poor man had 12 children and was forced to work night and day to give them even bread.
Terrible. I don't like the way this one's starting already.
Well,
at least. We finally got a good parent.
Yeah, and at least he was able to give them even bread, not uneven bread, which is terribly untasteful.
Wow.
When, therefore, the 13th came into the world... Dude, stop it.
Cover that thing up, man.
Get a kilt. He knew not what to do in his trouble, but ran out into the great highway... and resolved to ask the first person whom he met to be godfather, which is a solid plan. I would suggest that to everyone who is having a child.
Dude, this is like the second or third time we've had this obsession with making sure it had a godfather. That's the first thing, to have the kid. Well, that was the hedgehog one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who will be his godfather? Well, that's the first concern I'd have.
And I don't think he had one, did he?
No. With my 13th kid, and I can't feed the first 12, the first thing I would think was, who is going to be the godfather?
Well, it was an insurance back then, because you didn't have very good odds of living very long. And so if you died before your children had grown to take care of themselves, you had a godfather, which usually was a relative back then.
Yeah, I know
but
what
still,
a godfather is.
It's like insurance
you come
for your
to
kids.
Me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Wrong kind of godfather. But cool nonetheless. The first to meet him was...
Was who?
Let me try that again. The first to meet him was the good God.
Mm-hmm.
Good God.
Good God.
Who already knew what filled his heart and said to him, "Poor man, I pity you. I will hold your child at its christening and will take charge of it and make it happy on earth." The man said,
"Who are you?"
"I'm God."
"Then I do not desire to have you for a godfather," said the man. "You give to the rich and leave the poor to hunger." What?
It's in the name, Godfather. Poor choice.
And the first thing, he ran into the road to find a godfather for his son. And the first person he runs into is God. And he says, no.
Not good enough.
Yeah.
Thus spoke the man, for he did not know how wisely God apportions riches and poverty.
Oh, my goodness. He turned, therefore, away from the Lord and went further. Then the devil came to him and said,
"What do you seek? If you will take me as a godfather for your child, I will give him gold in plenty and all the joys of the world as well."
The man asked, "Who are you?"
"I am the devil."
"Then I do not desire to have you for a godfather," said the man. "You deceive men and lead them astray." He's awfully picky for someone who doesn't have... Oh, whatever. He went onwards, and then came death. Death, striding up to him with withered legs, and said,
"He's obviously the best choice."
Obviously.
"Take me as godfather."
What kind of road was this guy walking down that he runs into God, devil, and death?
Maybe he's not on earth anymore. He's actually in purgatory.
He's eaten the mushrooms.
He died long time ago from an overdose.
What the heck? I lost withered legs. The man asked, "Who are you?"
"I am death."
You finally get to say it.
"And I make all equal."
Then the man said, "You are the right one. You take the rich as well as the poor without distinction. You shall be the godfather."
Of course.
Do we have to finish this story? This is dumb. Death answered,
"I will make your child rich and famous, for he who has me for a friend can lack nothing."
But maybe life?
Bizarre. Well, if death doesn't come for him, right? If he's his friend. I don't know.
I love the candid answer. Go ahead, Dustin.
The man said, "Next Sunday is the christening. Be there at the right time." "Don't be late, death. Get to be the godfather.
Don't forget.
Set your alarm
at 3:31.
This guy. I think he's working too much. He's just delirious.
Death appeared as he had promised and stood godfather quite in the usual way. He didn't do it awkwardly, I guess.
He stood up and said, "This day, the day of my daughter's wedding."
He's not that old yet.
No.
When the boy had grown up, his godfather one day appeared and bade him go with him. He led him forth into a forest and showed him an herb which grew there and said, "Now this herb here, you smoke this."
It's not that kind of herb. Oh my gosh. It's probably what it is, though, now that I think about it.
"Now you shall receive your godfather's present. I make you a celebrated physician. When you are called to a patient, I will always appear to you If I stand by the head of the sick man, you may say with confidence that you will make him well again. And if you give him one of this herb, he will recover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I stay by the patient's feet, he is mine, and you must say that all remedies are in vain, and that no physician in the world could save him. But beware of using the herb against my will, or it might fare ill with you.
I feel a sponsor break coming on, and I just feel that something ill is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. We need something cheerful.
We do.
Something not so deathy.
Oh, this is a good one. Oh, this is my favorite one.
Is this the swag one?
Swag. We love swag.
How would you like to own your very own Tales of Bedlam swag? I mean, who wouldn't?
We have great news. The great overlords of BrickleBrit Inc. have decided to make our swag available to everyone.
You can get t-shirts, coffee mugs, tote bags, hoodies, stickers, even adorable little onesies in a wide variety of sizes and colors right from our website.
Well, unfortunately, you can't get adult size onesies. Anyway, Tales of Bedlam swag is great for any occasion and is a great way to show your support and help us spread the word of our earth-changing podcast to everyone you know. Mom will love our hoodies to snuggle up with while she listens to her favorite podcast.
In her bikini.
What?
Dad can enjoy his morning commute listening to his favorite podcast, Tales of Bedlam, with a hot cup of coffee in his Tales of Bedlam travel mug.
In a bikini. That didn't fit there.
Nice.
Junior and Juniorette will be the talk of their schools with their favorite colored Tales of Bedlam t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Get my son one. How can he get all this wonderful swag, you might ask? Just go to our website, talesofbedlam.com, and click on the big swag button at the top. It's just that easy. You'll have to provide a credit card or debit card.
Right. Well, you have to pay for it. Nothing to it. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
For more information, you can also email us at For more information, you can also email us at talesofbedlam@gmail.com. Tweet us at Tales of Bedlam, or give us a call at 417-501-4681. That's 417-501-4681. And just leave us a voice message on the size of onesie that you want.
Yeah, you still have to go to the website and order it, but we'll answer any questions.
That's
you
right.
Leave us a question. Where were we? Death said, here's the herb that saves everybody's life, but only if I'm standing at their head. And if I'm at their feet, they're dead. And this will make you a famous doctor, right?
Yes. At the head, he's going to recover. At the feet, he's mine.
Okay. So what was the herb for?
I think it's just so that he's a physician and not a miracle worker.
So he's giving him something?
Yeah, because if he just was like, he's going to live and does nothing, then he's not really a physician. Right. He's a magician.
He's just like a fortune teller.
Well,
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have been fine with the fortune telling thing, but that's fine. Whatever. It was not long before the youth was the most famous physician in the whole world because he could cure anybody with one herb.
If they can be cured.
If they can be cured. He only had to look at the patient and knew his condition at once, whether he would recover or must needs die. Because that's every condition in the world, right? You're either going to die or recover. No, that's not right. What if they had toe fungus? They're not going to die from it.
They might lose a toe.
Yeah, but they're not going to die. So he was only the most famous physician in the world for people who were dying.
Okay.
Okay, we've gone astray. That just didn't make sense to me. But they never do. I wonder what the end of this one is. Like, and then he dug a hole in the ground and a gopher came out and a rabbit ran by and said, I'm late, and ran down a hole.
No, that's Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, well, I just, you never know what's coming at the end. Anyway, recover or must needs die. So they said of him, and from far and wide people came to him, sent for him when they had anyone ill, and gave him so much money that he soon became a rich man. Nicely done.
Hmm.
Now it so befell that the king became ill. Oh, the king. Mm-hmm. And the physician was summoned, and was to say if recovery were possible. But when he came to the bed, death was standing by the feet of the sick man, and the herb did not grow which could save him. So the herb only grew if he was standing by his head? He just didn't carry the herb around?
I just think that that means that there isn't anything that can save him if death is standing by the sick man's feet.
Being too literal, apparently. Mm-hmm. If I could but cheat death for once, thought the physician, he is sure to take it ill if I do, but as I am his godson, he will shut one eye. I will risk it. He therefore took up the sick man and laid him the other way. Well, that was nice. He thought that through, so that death was now standing by his head. Then he gave the king some of the herb, and he recovered and grew healthy again. But death came to the physician looking very black and angry, threatening him with his finger, and said,
"You have betrayed me. This time I will pardon it, as you are my godson. But if you venture it again, it will cost you your neck, for I will take you, yourself, away with me."
Wow. It seemed an awfully convenient loophole that all you had to do was turn the guy around in bed.
Death's not going to stand for it.
Why didn't Death just walk to the other side of the bed?
Death's not going to lay down and take it.
All right.
Soon afterwards, the king's daughter fell into a severe illness.
King's daughter, I bet she's beautiful.
She was his only child, and he wept day and night, so that he began to lose the sight of his eyes, and he caused it to be made known that whosoever rescued her from death should be her husband and inherit the crown.
Nice.
When the physician came to the sick girl's bed, he saw death by her feet.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, crap. He ought to have remembered the warning given by his godfather.
He ought to have remembered that.
But he was so infatuated by the great beauty of the king's daughter.
Told you she was pretty.
You called that. And happiness of becoming her husband, that he flung all thought to the winds.
Oh, hormones. Every time.
He did not see that death was casting angry glances at him. Mm-mm. Casting them. Angry.
He was giving him the stink eye.
That he was raising his hand in the air and threatening him with his withered fist.
He just didn't notice that Death was waving his hands.
Don't do it. Don't do it. No, 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 no.
Did not very bright, this one. No. He raised up the sick girl and placed her head where her feet had lain. Then he gave her some of the herb, and instantly her cheeks flushed red, and life stirred afresh in her. When Death saw that for a second time his own property had been misused, he walked up to the physician with long strides and said,
"All is over with you, and now the lot falls on you."
That's very ominous. And seized him so firmly with his ice-cold hand that he could not resist, and led him into a cave below the earth.
Uh-oh.
That can't end well. Dragged into a cave below the earth by Death. Mm-mm. He should have watched The Godfather in the movies. He'd have known how this was going to end. There he saw how thousands and thousands of candles were burning in countless rows, some large, some medium-sized, and others small. Every instant, some were extinguished and others again burnt up, so that the flames seemed to leap hither and thither in perpetual change. That was some great literary devices going on there. I liked it.
See, said Death.
These are the lights of men's lives. The large ones belong to children, the medium ones to married people in their prime.
Or unmarried, maybe.
The little ones belong to old people. But children and young folks likewise have often only a tiny candle.
Wait a minute. So he said the large ones belong to children, and then he said children and young folks have a tiny candle. All right. Whatever.
Well, maybe because they're not going to have a very long life, Dustin.
Well, so some of the children are small, but...
Some of them might have...
Oh, I understand. But it just seemed confusing that he said children were big and then some children were small. Show me the light of my life, said the physician, and he thought that it would be very tall.
Death pointed to a little end which was just threatening to go out and said,
Behold, it is there.
Oh, dear godfather, said the horrified physician, light a new one for me. Do it for love of me, that I may enjoy my life, be king, and the husband of the king's beautiful daughter.
I cannot,
answered Death.
One must go out before a new one is lighted.
This is some very complicated stuff going on here. Then place the old one on a new one. That will go on burning at once when the old one has come to an end, pleaded the physician. Death behaved as if he were going to fulfill his wish, and took hold of a tall new candle, but as he desired to revenge himself, he purposely made the mistake in fixing it, and the little piece fell down and was extinguished. Jerk. Immediately the physician fell on the ground, and now he himself was in the hands of Death. Dead. He's dead. He screwed over Death and got his just reward.
I applaud Death because he warned him twice.
Two times.
And he looked right at him and still did it with Death's withered hand shaking at him.
Gave him angry eyes.
Don't you do it.
Yeah, he got angry eyes and was shaking finger.
Don't do it.
And he did it anyway. Yes. All because of hormones.
He could have had any girl he wanted. He was rich anyway.
Mm-hmm, right.
He didn't need to have the king's daughter.
There's kings with daughters wandering around in forests all over the place.
All the time. And hedgehogs
get him. Found
a
new one. Yeah.
Why not him? He's a rich, young, sexy physician.
What? Was that in there?
No, I just added that.
I don't know. He was probably pretty smelly.
I was guessing that he was probably pretty smoking hot.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, if all the princesses are always the most beautiful in the land, why not the guy too?
He's not a prince. He's Death's godson. He's probably just hideous and withered. I don't know.
I bet you that if they made a movie of this story, he would be smoking hot.
Ooh. You think Brad Pitt would be in it?
No, he's too old.
No.
Brad's getting old. We're getting old.
Mm-mm.
He could be someone new and young.
What the heck? I'm smoking hot. Fine. I'll not wear my bikini next time.
Yes, please put more clothes on when we podcast next time.
You don't have to look.
That is all for us today. Please. Do your shopping on Amazon. But first, go to our website at talesofbedlam.com. Click on one of the ads so that we get a little kickback and we can make this podcast even better.
I don't know how it could get better, but we'll definitely make it better.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.